You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stifles knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planned a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, Marco Bill, and hello, everybody around the globe. You know,
hello, Tom.
I got to tell you something, Bill. As I was listening to that little tune, I don't know if you know the gentleman's name. That's Rambling Jack Marlboro. He's dead today. God rest his soul. But he did the entire album for In the Shadow of Bigfoot. Back then it was called Bigfoot Alive in 82 or 81, whatever it was. My God, time just goes by. But he had lived with Ivan and I up on the ranch up there outside of Burney, California, with Ivan and Peggy and the 50 wolves and all the other critters and myself. And he composed those 11 tunes in 7 days.
Wow.
And, you know, it's amazing because there's a lot of people out there. I just got an email from a guy named T.J. Pierce. Great, great guy. He ordered some of our movies. As a matter of fact, he ordered In the Shadow of Bigfoot. And he says, oh, my God, Tom Viscardi, I never knew that you knew Ivan Marks. Well, you know, do you mind? We have a few minutes. Can I cap on this?
No, Tom, you know what? There's been some queries on both the emails to me as well as on the chat room that people didn't know you knew Ivan Marks. And I think it'd be a good idea just give everybody a little background in history. There's a lot of new folks out there that have never, you know, but they don't know who we really are in our past. And I think it'd be a great idea.
That's a great point. Okay, if everybody else around the globe don't mind, I'm going to, excuse me, I'm changing climates. So every time I go from one climate to another, I get all choked up. So please forgive me. Number one, back in 1967, as the song says it all, I saw the Roger Patterson film. And I says to myself, wow. I says, you know, here it is, 1967. We're on the verge of sending man to the moon pretty soon. And we can't find this gorilla, this ape that's out there in the forest. What's wrong with us? So I was working swing shift and for an aerospace company, and I come home at 11 o'clock, and I'm sitting there having a beer in my easy chair, and I'm seeing this guy on Johnny Carson. He's telling the whole story. And I says, I'll be damned. You know, I'm going to go to the library next morning, because I was off during the days till 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever the hell it was, find out everything I could find out about Bigfoot. I found out those who were chasing Bigfoot, hunting Bigfoot, researching Bigfoot, call it what you may back in them days. So I met with a lot of the people. I met with Peter Byrne. I met with Tom Slick out of Texas. The guy that was the most interesting and intriguing and was real close, not real close, but 4 hours from where I lived in California, was a guy named Ivan Marks. Now this guy, compared to all the rest of these guys, lived amongst all of our creatures of the forest. I'm talking about bear, cougar, deer, elk, everything that you can think about, you know, big game that's out there. And he hunted them also. And not just that, he was the game warden in Alaska at the time. Because he used to spend about from October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, 8 months out of the year in Bernie, and then the rest he'd spend in Alaska, where they call the creature, incidentally, the Bushman. Well, it's amazing. All my predecessors and all the big-name people, Bill Bird, Lowell Thomas, Walt Disney, Peter Byrne, I forget the anthropologist back then. I remember meeting him, too. He was up in Pullman, Washington. Grover Krantz, that was his name.
Yeah, Grover Krantz. Yeah.
Grover Krantz. And all the big guys back in them days, okay? They all came to Ivan. And why did they come to Ivan? Because Ivan was the man of the woods. Ivan was the man of the forest. Well, I called him, and I said, geez, I've got a new kink on this thing, and I think I can... Down here in Silicon Valley, which they called it in today's times, all these electronic companies, and I hooked up with a scientist that he believes he can find something at night. And back in them days, it was, you were in a service, Bill, what they call moon lights or something? Moon scopes?
Night scopes,
yeah. I'm trying to remember the terminology back in them days, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm going back more than 43, 44 years. So he says, come on up in there and let's visit a little bit. Well, hell, I'm a guy from Brooklyn, New York, ladies and gentlemen. The only green and grass and trees I ever knew was in a park when I was playing baseball in Little League. Or I had a sled at that time. In the wintertime, we'd wait for the damn snow and we'd go up and down these hills. Well, to make a long story short, I went up to see him. And it happened to be a snowstorm. I'm going over Round Mountain, Hatchet Mountain, and all this crap. And I'm saying, holy shit, what have I gotten myself into? So I reach this town, and if you blink, you're gone already through it. And they didn't have cell phones in them days. You had to go to pay phone and dial his number. Well, of course, I called him. He says, well, there's a cafe over there, Sportsman's Club is what it was called. I'll never forget it. He says, I'll meet you. I'll come down and meet you. I said, well, what do you look like? He says, well, you'll know who I am when I walk through the door. And God knows you sure as hell did. It was like John Wayne walking through a door, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a guy that'd be spitting his chew like that. He loved that. He'd chew that Levi. I'll never forget it. Loved Levi Chew. And drink his coffee like there was no tomorrow. God rest his soul. So we chatted for a while. We visited for about a good hour and a half. And he said, all right. He says, you seem to be a pretty straight fella. I'm going to bring you up to the spread. Now, he lived in 40 acres right outside of the town going towards Reading. They named it today. His road is called Ivan Marks Road, believe it or not. Again, to make a long story short, now I'm going. You better park your rig right here. And I love the way these people of the woods and forest, they all call their automobiles or vehicles rigs, ladies and gentlemen. I said, okay. I said, but I don't feel too comfortable leaving my rig, as you call it here. Because at that point in time, I had a fancy car, you know. But I left it. And I'm getting into his. He had a Volkswagen. And the reason why he had a Volkswagen, it wasn't the bug. It was the van, because it had an air-cooled engine, and it was great for the height and everything, going over streams and small little waterways and going over the big rocks and stuff like that. It was before its time, believe me. So all of a sudden, I'm going through this land, oh my God, through the waters, and I'm hearing all these howls and crazy sounds, and finally get up to where I see this big cabin up on top of the hill where he brought me up. Well, my God, he had every animal. He had a cougar, he had a bear, he had 50 wolves, hybrid wolves that he brought in from Alaska. I met Peggy, his wife, she's still alive today, God bless her. She's 85, 86 years old. And there's one woman, I'll tell you right now, I go out in the wood with her any old time. As a matter of fact, she saved my life a few times. That's how wonderful she is. And that's how I actually hooked up with Ivan. He says to me, okay, you live with me for 30 days. You train with me for 30 days. You sleep the way I sleep, eat the way I eat, drink the way I drink. And I'll teach you everything I know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you a story. I never knew what I was getting myself into. Now, you remember this. This is back between 72 and 73. And my God, I got into a hell of an element here because, man, you want any water? You had to go to the damn pump. You wanted to have a heater? You don't have heaters. He had a 50-gallon drum. Turned out on its side, gutted, had a flue put in it. And you just cut wood, put it in there, and it heated up the cabin, and you'd cook on the outside of the damn thing.
Yeah, it's called the barrel stove.
Or what have you. I mean, it was phenomenal, okay? There was no bathroom. You want a bathroom? Follow the path outside the house. And that little thing that has a half moon on it, that little shack, you go out there. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I was trained around for 30 days. You know what? Let's just do this in a four-part series. I didn't know we were going to do this, but, you know, I talked long enough. We got a lot of guests. I want to get them all in, if you don't mind.
Sure. No, that's fine, Tom.
So stay tuned.
So that's how you met Ivan, and the next time we'll leave off on what you did with Ivan.
Yeah. Now I'm up. Just visualize this and keep it solid in your brain. I'm up at his cabin. We already did the introductions, the niceties, and everything else. Now I get to see where I'm going to spend the night. And how it's going to be. Wow. From a kid from Brooklyn, New York, this was a whole new life to be continued next week. All right, so let's see. We got a hell of a show going on here this week, don't we?
Sure do.
My buddy, Timmy's on from Florida. Let's get out there. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Tampa, Florida, the Green Swamp, to see and talk to our good buddy, Tim Fasano. Tim, you out there?
This is me, Tim.
How are you, good buddy?
I'm doing good, and you're bringing back a lot of old memories. I've got right in front of me right now one of the things that inspired me when I was 17 years old. And keep in mind, next month I'll be 57, so this was 40 years ago. was I used to buy Saga magazine.
Oh, my God, we were on the cover. That's right.
There's a photograph right here of you and Gene Finley.
Yeah, by our plane. We had a Cessna 150.
In Alaska, in the article here, it also mentions that you were flying at night and that Ivan Marx was controlling the screen on the first-generation thermal imaging camera.
And you know what? Oh, my God. Do you have that?
I'm looking at it right now. It's 3 a.m. of a cold, gray morning somewhere over the wilds of Alaska. There's no time for a pleasure flight. Okay, hold her steady, says Ivan Marx, the veteran hunter and tracker. I'm starting the electronic sweep.
Wow.
And Matt Moneymaker claims that he invented all this shit while he was in diapers. While he was in diapers,
you got the proof in front of you right there. Oh, my God.
Like I said,
I didn't think that thing was still around. But anyhow, that's the truth, okay? That guy came up. What was the guy's name there?
The national media came out there to check you guys out. When you weren't flying the Cessna at night, just right over the treetops, I don't have to tell your listeners how dangerous that is. One misstep and, you know, you're dead. It said you guys were camping out, sleeping in sleeping bags, and you had to wrap your legs in towels to keep the timber rattlers from climbing in your sleeping bags and biting you.
That's the truth, because it was burlap sacks that we used. They didn't have chaps as they do in today's time. Well, they got those ropes that go around your camp, and you spray that spray, and the snakes won't come in. I got to tell you something. Is that all that is still in the articles there? My God.
Yeah, it's I actually have been able to find it on the internet. There's an internet site that has a copy of the actual magazine article. Bigfoot Encounters is the name of the website.
Wow, that's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. But ladies and gentlemen, that's all true. And I lived
living
all
proof that.
We were up 10,000 feet elevation on these mountains. I'll never forget this neither. Harry, I was going to tell you about this, and here he's bringing it up. And we're sleeping in these, I forget what the hell they were called, but they were a sleeping bed that was like a sling on the side of a mountain. I don't remember. You got to forgive me. Now, I'm going back over 40 years. Boy, did you bring up memories for me, Tim. Well, we know what? We'll bring that up during the next couple of weeks. What in the hell's going on down there by you? I hear you got a lot of good things going on.
Well, we do have a lot of good things going on, and it sort of ties in with your experience. When you came down here a little over 2 years ago, I took you to the Green Swamp area, and I was honored that you and your team came down here. And in the ride over, you were telling me about something that stuck in my mind. You were talking about permanent population and migratory populations of Bigfoot, that the young ones might migrate, that what we believe they do, but like people, they get older, and you said maybe they don't feel so good, their feet hurt, and they're in an area where they have vegetation and food and cover and water, so they just basically they say, you know, you guys go ahead on, and I'll stay in this area, and basically, I'll see you next season when you come back. And that's worked really well for us in the Green Swamp because we believe the migratory season is the first cold snap of the fall, which would be about the third or fourth week of October. And we've already scheduled and we've acquired the permits to be in there again for the third year in a row. And for 2 years now, we've gotten great evidence, including what I believe one of the biggest trackways of footprints that's ever been found. Forget what they claim Cliff Barkman found up in Canada, where they found a bunch of footprints about 20 feet away from a known jogger's trail. We found the actual footprints, and I put it up there, and BFRO just ignores us. And in fact, what I did is after we made the reservation, I did a video where I called out Matt Moneymaker and said, look, if you want to find Bigfoot and really add the find to your TV show Finding, then I suggest that you meet up with us in the Green Swamp, third week of October. We've already scheduled it. Bring, am I still on?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay, I heard it. I thought maybe I lost my connection here. I'm on a cell phone. And I haven't heard from the guy. And I was giving him an opportunity to come out and find some real evidence, but it doesn't matter because I've extended this opportunity to other groups in Florida as well as a young, dynamic documentary film company out of Sarasota, Florida, that is more than interested in filming us and being out there with us. These guys are primitive backpackers, and they know all about the area, and they're going to film us. Now, as a preliminary, next Monday, George, Kevin, and I are going to be in that area, and it's going to be miserable. It's you're talking about climate. It's hot. It's buggy. It's storm season. There's mosquitoes, and there's swamp water and snakes. But we're going in there for overnight camping in a primitive area, and we're going to be doing night operations in really, quite frankly, hostile conditions. And we hopefully get something. I'm convinced there's primitive populations that are living in there. And this is what we're doing. I'm just filling you in. I haven't done much in the last month because of just really severe weather here in Florida. It's off season. Let's just put it that way. It's off season. But we're going to force the issue by going in on Monday. And this is what we do. My new website is called Extreme Bigfoot. Because what we do is to the extreme. ExtremeBigfoot.blogspot.com. And everything we do is to the extreme. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your radio show. You know, Tom, in the 5 years that I've been doing Bigfoot research, you are the only one that's had the balls to invite me on this program. You know, all these people that have big blog talk radio programs and about Bigfoot, do you know I've never been invited on a program? It's not that I'm turning people down. I've never even been given an invite. Why do you think that?
Because you'll make them look bad, that's why. You know, let me tell you something, Timmy. First of all, I'm very proud of you, okay? I'm very, very proud of you. Even though I get all these haters and naysayers and all this crap about you. And the last one I told him, I said, look, I said, until you walked in this man's shoes, I don't want to hear from you ever again. I said, I've met the man. I've been out in the brush with the man, and he's not a flake. He's real. Can you look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you're real? And I never heard from those people ever again, okay? And that's the whole problem. Do you think that Moneymaker wants to come out to see you after he's bad-mouthed you, now going to come out to see you, and everybody will say, well, geez, Moneymaker, why didn't you come out here where the action is, where these guys are when they got boots on the ground? Think about it. It's all common sense, huh?
Well, I'm going to show him an area where he's going to have a real high probability of finding real evidence. Those documentary guys that I met with, they referred to the program as not finding Bigfoot. And I want to let you know.
I want to ask you. Tomorrow's the 15th of August. You know, that's a five-year anniversary of the hoax.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen? What was that moron supposed to do?
Well, he kind of was preempted. He started claiming last week that he had two Bigfoot. He had a dead one and a live one. And that the dead one was a hermaphrodite, which means it has both male and female characteristics.
Where are you getting this garbage from?
From his website. He was claiming this.
Oh,
and he challenged,
it's real? I mean, he actually said this?
Oh, yeah, and he said scientists have examined the dead Bigfoot, and it had both male testicles and a female vagina, and, that's an oddity, one out of every 100 million humans that's born has that type of characteristics. But this is what he claimed, and he said anyone in the Bigfoot world that wants to see the Bigfoot show up Friday, which would be last Friday, in Los Angeles. He moved to L.A., and he would show them the Bigfoot. Well, I know you don't think a lot of this guy, but Steve Calls flew to L.A. And he arrived at LAX.
Where did he get the money?
FBFB, the website, they put up the money to give him the ticket.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. I think I heard somebody called me up and told me that it was somebody's mileage, a mileage ticket or something.
Frequent flyer,
that's
mileage.
That's it. Yeah. I thought that was all bullshit, too. So this all came – when did this all happen? Last week?
Friday. And what happened was Steve showed up, and he had Dyer's phone number, and they were talking and texting, and Dyer kept stalling and putting it off and changing his mind and saying, well, meet me here and meet me there. And then he broke off communication. So it was obvious that Dyer never had anything. I mean, whatever you want to think about Steve Calls, and I know what your opinion is of him, but at least he showed up in L.A. and said, you know, where is it? And Dyer didn't have it. And so now Dyer's claiming that he's going to release the Bigfoot on New Year's Day 2014.
And Steve is going to dedicate a website to badmouthing him.
What's going on? I've talked to the people that run all the blogs, Cryptomundo, Sasquatch Evidence, anybody who's a blog, everyone has agreed to never mention this guy again. And I'm never going to mention him. I'm talking about him on the radio program, but on my blog, I'm not going to mention him again. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the claims that he makes. And I just really wish he would go away. He doesn't do any field research. He never gets out in the woods. But anyway, I don't want to just talk about Rick Dyer. I want to talk about what we're doing. We've got some exciting things going on. And we just got to get past this really tropical storm season. But we're going to force the issue, like I said, next Monday and Tuesday. We're going to be out doing night operations. And I'd like an opportunity to be on next Wednesday where I can tell you what we did. And hopefully if we get anything good, it'll be on the blog. And you'll be able to link to it. And people will be able to go and see what we're doing and the evidence that we found.
Well, you know what? And we'll do it. We'll have you back on with an update. How's that?
Absolutely.
I really appreciate that. But I just want to point out that as time goes on, my team is growing. The people that associate themselves with me, I've got a dozen people now. I've got 12 people now that are part of my team. And these just aren't crackpots. One of them is a TV producer. The other guy is a high-tech computer guy. Two of the people are connected with MUFON, which is a mutual UFO reporting network out of Florida. And one of them is the assistant state director of the state of Florida for MUFON operations. And we got gadget guys, and we got Bigfoot field researchers, and we even got a couple of guys that do ghost investigation. And these people have seen my work. They believe in what we're doing. They believe in Bigfoot, and they've signed on, and my team is growing. So these people have respect for me. I have respect for them. They're the ones that really know me, and their assessment of me is that I'm real, I'm straight up, and I'm legitimate. And so, I mean, I'm very proud of that because people who know me know that I'm for real, and my research is real. And I'm serious when I say no one will allow me on their radio show. I guess they're afraid of me because I do speak bluntly about what I think.
Be very careful about when you speak abruptly or bruntly, because make sure you carry the big stick, too, because I'll tell you what.
Well, I got a big stick.
Yeah, there's a lot of envious, jealous people out there that talk story, but very, very few walk the walk. Remember that. You remember when you were having trials and tribulations with your contracts, with the people in the industry? Who did you go to?
I called Tom Biscardi.
That's right. And what I told you was straight, wasn't it?
Oh, well, that brings up another thing. I ended up with those people signing an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. And you pointed out that I may have actually signed that under false pretenses. But regardless of that, I'm not able to speak about proprietary information. But I want to speak in general terms about what I've heard. I've got people on the inside. This Spike TV program, they're already filming it. And from what I understand, they have already collected some amazing evidence that they're going to put on TV in January. Evidence that's going to blow people's minds, that's going to show everyone that Bigfoot is real. And as one guy told me, I won't tell you who he is, he's with the production company, he said that it's going to blow Matt Moneymaker's mind because we have real evidence and he's got nothing. And
well, that's the whole point. You know, how long does it take for the world to come out and say, hey, I'm tired of chasing shadows and around every corner and, oh, there it is, or could you hear that? And, oh, what was that? You know, someday you're going to have to come up with something, partner.
Right. Well, these people, from what I'm hearing, this is going to be a successful show. And it may become you know, an annual thing each year. They do it every year. And they're for real. They've got real FLIR cameras and scientific parabolic mics. They got all the stuff, but they're finding real evidence. And the show sounds like it's going to be a hit. They even got the guy that played Superman and what was that show, Lois and Clark Kent, and with Lois Lane, the cutie pie actor that all the chicks like. He's going to be the moderator of the program. And it sounds like it's going to be real, but it's not going to be fake, because when people watch this, they're going to see what you have seen in the last 40 years and what I've seen in my brief 5 years, is that Bigfoot is real, and there is a Bigfoot, and it's out there. But the only way it can be found is if you get out in the damn woods. So I'm really excited because I think it's a lot of good things are coming up, and I do want to be on your program next week when I've actually got something to talk about, other than the good old days.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, that's we got a date next week. Okay.
Next Wednesday, and we'll definitely have something to talk about. Solid, hopefully, next Wednesday, Tom.
You got it, Tim. Thanks so much for sharing some of that beautiful knowledge that you possess. And be safe out there, and we'll look forward to hearing what you got next.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later, man.
Be well.
All right, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Tim Fasano out there at Tampa, Florida. There, he's being hampered by the damn weather out in that area, but they're going to go out next week anyway. And so put it down on your calendar, the 21st. He's going to be back on the show and tell us what he got. I like the lick of the lollipop. All right. Let's go to a commercial, Bill.
Okay.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
You know, he brought back some memories, especially with this little ditty about the anatomy of Bigfoot hoax, ladies and gentlemen. That had to do with that guy, Rick Dyer, also. And he did the same thing to us. He gave us the ring around the rosy and had us traveling here, there, and everywhere. And And here it is all over again, and people are still falling for that crap. I just don't get it. I just hope to God people, like Tim said, just don't even mention his name. Don't give him any publicity. Maybe he'll go away like a bad cold. Are we going to see John, or are we going to Anthony?
No, we're
going
to go to Anthony.
Okay, good. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out and see my adopted son, Anthony, out there in Virginia. How are you, young man?
Doing well, Tom. Hope you and Uncle Bill doing well.
Well, if we felt any better, we'd have to see a doctor. Well, wait a minute. Let me take that back. Bill's already seeing a doctor. I'll have to see one also. So tell me what's going on out there.
So, got some activity, and actually, that friend of mine that hopefully one day we'll get him on the show, he had a visual last night. So, as he was driving up one of the main roads here in the area, this is probably about maybe about an hour and a half west of where we met up, Tom, where we had casted that print. And this is the area where he's been having a lot of activities and right in his backyard. But this was probably maybe about, I'm going to estimate maybe about 10 miles from his home. He's driving on the road and he sees one of the buggers kind of squat down, just sitting right at the side of the road. But, the thing that caught his eye was that, even in that position, the way it was just sitting, with his legs straight down, he said he noticed that this thing was kind of tall, It's not like you and I, we squat down, we're sitting down low. This thing was, squat down, and it was still kind of tall, He said, and couldn't believe what he was seeing. He just stood there, and then he passed it, and then he turned around to try to, get like a second visual of it, but it had already gone. And, but he's kind of glad that he's seen the creature. Also, in his home, like I said, in his yard there, at the edge of the woods there, he whistles a certain way at his dog, and now he's noticing that the same way he whistles at his dog, he's hearing those whistles come back at him. Okay? He said, that there seem to be kind of increasing in frequency, the whistles that are taking place. So there's stuff going on, different area, but there's stuff going on, not too far from where we had met up.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is it the same area where we were, or is it a different area?
No, this is a totally different area. Totally different area. This is the friend that, his kid and my kid played together, and how we got started talking about him was that, he was experiencing a lot of things, and he had happened to mention it all on his own that, he felt like he was one of these creatures, just because of the weird things that he was experiencing. So.
Let me ask you something. Since you've been, how long have you known me?
About 3 years.
3 years. In the 3 years that you've known me, have you talked to many people, and do they think you're crazy or they think you're okay?
Well, I don't talk to too many people about it because for that reason, I don't want them to think that I'm crazy. But, the few that I have talked to about it, they don't think that I'm crazy, And I'm not telling the whole world, hey, I know Tom Biscardi, But at the same time, I'm kind of like you. I wish I could do it like you, full time and stuff. But I'm take it serious. I know these creatures are real, and I know they're out there. I think they're, all around. Just my opinion. Just from where I live, I think a lot of times they're, they're dismissed as some other type of animal. But like this guy, like I told you. When he first moved into that area, he said that he thought he said for every day for you know maybe 45 days he thought it was just a monkey that he was watching, you know. I mean, now he doesn't think that at all. But you know, at first he thought, you know, there's you know a loose monkey in his neighborhood, yeah. So, yeah, because of the way it was swinging in the trees, you know. But now, you know, he doesn't think that. He, you know, especially with the footprints that he had found one time on a rainy day, you know. Plus, the first time that he had talked to me about it, I happened to be at his house, and then I said, "Well, take me into the woods," and sure enough, you know, we find a footprint, you know. So.
Do you still talk with the guy that went back to work?
Yes. Not all the time. It's like every once in a while. And
has he been having any more encounters?
I think he's, you know, he might have went back to work, but I think in that particular area, I think he's done. You know, I mean, he still likes to get out every once in a while, but I don't think he's doing it as much as he used to.
You know, they run their gamut in this industry, I've noticed. You know, it's just like poor Tim, he's going through all this and nobody wants to listen to him. And it's a tough business. And I'll tell you what, if you've got a thin shell, you're going to crack. But it's like water off a duck's back with me and a lot of the guys that are with me because we just don't care anymore. We know what needs to be done, just like you know what needs to be done. And that's all we care about. And you know what? I have a feeling with all this recognition everybody's getting around the world about Bigfoot and everything, it's getting bigger and bigger. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to make this statement to the world. If Tom Biscardi and the team decided to go out 24/7, 365 days a year, you know when we were out there that way, we were creating and havoc and making the world know what the hell's going on out there. But there's very few people that can do it the way we do. And you too, because you become a part of us, Anthony. Thanks for sharing and keep us letting us know what's going on. Okay, good buddy?
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Love you, man. Have a good day.
I love you too. God bless you, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Anthony from Virginia. He's just like one of my boys. Great, great guy. Without any further ado, I understand we go out and see another one of my kids out there at the Four Corners. We're going out to New Mexico, Farmington. Are you out there, David?
I sure am, Tom. Right here.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You know, I got to tell you something. Wow. Somebody sent me a picture that they said they saw it on Facebook, and it was in Brenda's backyard or something. Was that the creature?
It was pretty close. Yes, it was. Yeah.
And then somebody told me that you were coming home from a gig and you saw one of the creatures cross the road.
Yeah, that happened too.
Hot dog, brother. Talk to me. Tell the world what's going on up there.
Well, okay. Actually,
talk a little louder.
Okay. We also went on a trip here last week looking at what would you call them, like tree formations just north of us up in the mountains. And we found a plethora of tree formations that I've never seen clustered so close together. This is only about 50 miles away from Brenda's house. And we actually had one picture that looked really interesting. There was a log that was set inside a tree, and you could actually see where this thing had lifted the log and skidded it onto the aspen tree on the side of it. And the highest part of this skid you can see, or I would call a bruise, is probably at least 20 feet high, maybe a little higher, about 23 feet. And what we were doing is basically doing a forensic on the trees. How could these trees be manipulated into their shapes? I sent a link to Marco Bill. He might be able to see these pictures later on. But there was just this, it's almost like this, I don't know how to describe it, but we kind of loosely thought maybe it's used as a ceremonial area because some of these formations of trees were set in a semicircle. It felt very strange out there. We had Vincent Lujan, who's a good friend of ours, do some tree knocks with a stick, and in probably about 2 or 3 minutes, we got a distant whoops back. So things are happening. Out in the mountains, out here in our valley, we previously thought that they used to do a migration out of here. during the summer, but it's going on strong in this area, like the picture we just described. That was very close to Brenda's house, actually.
How is she doing?
Oh, she's doing good. In fact, she's going to have a Bigfoot conference. Let's see, I've got it here on my little computer. She's going to have it on September 28th and 29th over here at Upper Fruitland Chapter House here in New Mexico, in Upper Fruitland, New Mexico.
You know what? Send us a date on that. Send it to Marco Bill, and Marco will put it on the calendar. Let us see if we can help you.
Okay.
Get you some attendance out there.
Yeah, actually,
what are you going to have out there? Tell me. Tell everybody out there.
Okay, we're going to have presentations, vendors, local artists, authentic Navajo food and jewelry, live music, souvenirs, T-shirts, raffles, and so much more. Some of the speakers will be it'll be Brenda, of course. Jesus Jr., who's famous for being on the first season of Breaking Bad. A man named Scott Nelson, Sally Ramey, Jeffrey Teagle, and William Barnes. William Barnes is the man who wants to photograph or get evidence of Bigfoot using balloons.
We know him. He's been on our show. Tell me about Scott Nelson. I think I know him.
Yeah. I'm not too sure who he is, actually. I've been doing some research, but I can't remember exactly what...
Wasn't he the guy on the news channel?
The news channel. Oh, gosh, I can't really say. I don't know. I just got this poster just the other day, so I have...
I'm going to post it. I'll post it up there, too. I'll post it on their website.
Yeah, okay. Are you charging admission, or how does this work?
It's free.
It's free?
Yeah.
Nothing's free, son. Except for love and death. Remember that. Love costs money, too.
Okay.
But how can it be free?
You just walk in and, I guess, just watch the presentations, look around, and talk to people, do a lot of mingling.
Are you going to have food and merchandise there?
Yes, and that's not free.
Is that free, or do you have to pay for it?
Most likely pay for it.
Okay, so it's not free then, is it?
Well, the entrance is free, I would say.
Okay. Entrance is free, but when you get in there, be prepared to bring some money, folks, because nothing is free, and they need to have these vendors make some money so they'll show up next year, too. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because I don't want you to do any misleading stuff. Just tell the people like it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would you do that for me? And if you tell them the truth, what's happening to, what the hell's his name? I forgot his name. The guy that worked at Kmart or Walmart.
Oh, JC?
Yeah, how's he doing?
He's doing all right. He's been doing his own expeditions lately, going up into the other parts of the Four Corners and having fun at it. I haven't been able to attend any of those. He's been doing multi-days, and I just don't have the time to go.
Yeah, yeah. Does he charge people to take them out?
No. No, he's he's just rounding up his friends and getting them all together. And they're just doing some basic...
How's the big guy with the Wendy's?
Oh, John. Yeah, he's doing very well, too. I just saw him here several days ago.
When you see him, would you tell him I said hello?
Yeah, sure will.
I sure like that guy. He always took care of me and my boys when we came through town. Always there, man. Always had our back covered. And we had his back covered. When all those cats left him flat on the road, were you with us when we picked him up and brought him to his uncle or niece or cousin or somebody up there?
Yeah, no,
so
I wasn't.
So he could get back in the town and help them tow his rig back. Remember that day?
Be honest with you, I don't remember that. I was never told about that. Huh.
Oh, yeah. You ask him about it, he'll tell you.
Okay.
He's never forgotten about that. But you know what? You bring back a lot of good memories, and I hope to God that we get a chance to see each other soon, too.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. There's no boredom around here when it comes to the research of Bigfoot, that's for sure.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, thank you so much for sharing. Say hello to Brenda and the Chief and John and all the other cats up there. And I understand that you've disassociated yourself with all those other groups and you're just doing your own thing, you and Brenda. Is that true?
Well, that's what I've been doing lately. I've just We've been just doing research, you know, just getting together because we've had easy access with each other's schedules. So, yeah, I've been hanging with them pretty good.
That's wonderful. Did they ever find or finally diagnose that film that she had in the backyard?
A little bit more. Yeah, they actually they had that cleared up a little bit, and there is a lot more in that video than that you can see just with the original compared to the original video. Yeah, there is more in it.
Yeah, but I remember the was it a rabbi, Jewish rabbi guy that I met.
Around,
remember him?
Yeah, Rabbi Moses. He was
Rabbi Moses. He was gonna him and JC. They were gonna bring that thing to fruition and see what the hell we really had.
Yeah, I think Brenda took it to some other people, and she told me, I haven't seen it yet, but she told me that she could see more figures in that video than was just originally shown.
Wow.
Yeah, so there was things moving around. I'd like to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Well, tell her when you see her that I'd like to see it. Tell her to give me a jingle, would you?
Okay, I sure will.
Sure is great. And say hello to Mom and Pop there, and you stay well. You hear?
Okay. Thank you, Tom. You too. God bless.
All right, good buddy. Thank you for being on with us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my other boy up there in Four Corners, Dave Oz. He's one hell of a trooper. The only guy I know that ever dated a Playboy bunny. I've been under a shell somewhere, but he has dated a Playboy bunny, and I've seen her. She's good looking, too.
Oh,
Marco, man. Bill, I'm going to impose on you and see if you could handle this caucus with the rest of the
Well, no, we're going to have we got a good old friend of ours on there, Leroy.
Oh, put him on. Hell with
yeah.
It. Yeah. Yeah. I like Leroy. Leroy, are you out there?
Well, I got to unmute him.
Okay.
Tom, I'm here.
Hi, how you been, good buddy?
Oh, just doing research. That's what I was about to do.
I love you. You know what? You've been doing research for how many years now?
28 years.
28 years. Did you get any of that stuff published yet?
No, not really, because lately I've been doing a lot of research on JFK assassination.
You've done a hell of a job on that, too, that Pursuta, what's his name?
Zapruder film.
Zapruder, yeah. Wow, boy, did you diagnosed that thing and dissected it. Incredible. It blew me away. I couldn't believe what you did. It was a hell of a job. So is that what you're doing primarily now?
Well, I'm almost done with JFK, and then I'm going to start on something else because, like, JFK, I finally pieced all the evidence together, and it was 5 gunmen there that day. There was 12 shots taken that day, and I have real images of the gunmen on a grassy knoll.
Oh, my God. Wow. You know, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say OMG. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay. I'm hip now, you know. Well, that's good. Now, listen, how's the family? And I know you had some medical problems with the wife and everything. Is she okay?
Yeah, she's doing fine.
That's wonderful. Then our prayers have come true, haven't they?
Oh, yes.
That's a wonderful. You still living in the same place, or have you moved?
We're still living in Santiana.
Good, good, good. Well, you know, we're going to hook up one of these days, like I've been telling everybody. I'm hoping to retire real soon here. You think that'll happen, Leroy? You think I'll retire?
No, not really. Researchers always want to retire, but they never do.
Yeah. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, so I guess you're right there, too. Listen, it's good talking to you, good buddy, and I got to go, but Marco Bill's going to talk to everybody and have a little caucus here, and I want to let Boo Boo know that I hope she fried those green tomatoes and enjoyed them. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, everybody, I've unmuted Dave, Anthony, and Leroy. You're there. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Marco. Hey, Leroy.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, what I'd like to do, we don't have any, our little 15-year-old guest didn't show up again this week, and I called him the other day. He was supposed to. I can tell you what he did. Again, he he was put some bait out, and then he left the camera out, and of course he didn't get anything with the camera except for, you know, raccoons and squirrels and other things. When he took the camera down overnight, came back the next day, of course, the main thing he left out there for the creature was gone again. And so that same kind of thing happened to him again. And what I wanted him on the show tonight for was I wanted to talk to some of you guys and take a look at what he could do or what the possibilities might be to set the camera to where the creature may not be able to see the camera. Now, I've talked to several people, and I'm familiar. Some of these cameras, these game cameras, depending on what, you know, what model you have and who makes it, sometimes they have a kind of a red light in them so that when it takes a picture, you can see the red light. If you don't, during the day you don't see it, but if it's that night, you can certainly see it. And in a couple of cases, people will seem to be able to see it a half a mile away. So that's not good. And then the other thing is some of the infrared trips that they have, they may be silent and they may be invisible, but I'm not sure what it is, but evidently the creature has some sort of ability to detect those things. And even the quick cameras, some of the cameras have a kind of a delay in them. Others are instant, almost instant, in less than a second, which is pretty fast. And but that's the problem. And that's a problem not just this kid is having, but many, many, many other people. Well, we've had the same problem ourselves. I talked to Bill Coffey, and he had that same problem a couple times. And so, you know, I'm not sure what you guys think about it or what your experience is in it. Maybe you have some insight. Does anybody have any, maybe any input to what the problem or how to resolve some of that maybe?
Well, one thing you have to take care of is the flash that's on them, because you notice that when you got your trail cameras up, you can see them flashes just go off a mile away.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's others that don't have a flash. They're just they're basically night vision.
Mm-hmm.
They have the night vision without a flash on them.
Okay, yeah.
But I know what you're talking about, yeah. There's some of them that do have a flash, you're right. Anybody else?
Well, I think saving up for a thermal camera or maybe even renting one. There is a place on the internet that they rent thermal cameras.
A thermal camera?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure. They do have thermal cameras, and we have them. I mean, but a lot of times these thermal cameras, I'm not sure if I've seen a model that they can, it's like a game camera where you can set it up for, you know, pictures or flash or video. I mean, you can set them up for video and other things like that, some of them, but not at any great, for a remote flash type of thing or sensor. I haven't seen any of those unless somebody else has. I haven't seen that available yet.
No, I don't mean setting it up like a game, not like setting up like a game, but just to use it, you know, mounted somewhere and just in an area where you know that they're kind of...
Or use it as a sensor, yeah. Well, people do that. Yeah. But what a lot of people want to do is they can't be out there the whole time. And what they'll do is they'll bait an area and set it up, right? And, you know, they'll bait and set up an area. And then they'll put some kind of a bait out in it, and they'll try to set the camera in a place where nobody can see it. And then to see if they can get a picture of one of these creatures. And most of the time, almost all the time, we've got pictures of fingers and an arm and a hand. And that's it. Partial picture of a face, but not real clear. And part of the problem is many, many times, and many other people that I've talked to have had the cameras ripped down. I think old Mitch had a creature crawl up in the tree and bust open the face of the camera and then pee in it.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch Waite, you know, he had that happen. And so there's a lot of different things. And so it is a problem. I'm pretty sure it is. And I'm just not sure what the, you know, what all the issues are. And I thought maybe somebody else might, you know, have some ideas or instances or something that people might be able to go on and, you know, take a look at trying out. If not, does anybody have any questions about any of the things that took place tonight?
I'll tell you what, I like the one when Tim was talking about the Bigfoot with both reproductive organs. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but that one sounded a little bit way out of whack, like Uncle Sam is screwing around with genetics they know nothing about.
Well, he also said that he has a wing, too.
Yeah, but, Steve, you got to consider the source of
that's what I said. What I said, Marco. It sounded funny as hell.
Yeah, I know.
Well, idiot should go back to selling cars.
Go back to Walmart beer, whatever.
Well, he was a prison guard.
That didn't do him very justice.
No, it certainly didn't improve his aim either.
So that's where he learned all his stories.
Well, anyway, well, heck, hey, I want to thank everybody tonight for coming on again and sharing your experiences with us. I'm going to tell you, we really do appreciate everybody that's on that show, all of our listeners, everybody out there. To all the guys out in the chat room, I know I don't get a chance to go and during the show and do the chat because I'm operating. I got three computers I got to operate at the same time, and it's difficult to operate more. Well, maybe it's difficult for me. Let me say that to operate more than one piece of equipment at a time. I don't have that. So it's difficult for me to answer your questions and things. But I do read through after the show, and read through things. And I want to appreciate everybody's feedback, many of your feedbacks on a lot of things that you do, a lot of the things that you say during the show. I'd like to thank all the people out there that send me emails and tell me things that are going on. I'd like to thank Leroy. I mean, you've been a part of this for so many years, too. And you're the super sleuth that you're absolutely the super sleuth that I could ever imagine.
Thank you.
And all the different projects and things that you've worked with us on. And I don't think there's anybody else out there that's equal to you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
You've done a great job. I'm looking at it, by the way. I did get your email, and I'm going to look at all the stuff that you got. I just didn't get a chance today. I was getting the show already. But you got some good – you always have good things. And you're very thorough. And that's one thing, and absolutely thorough. And right. When you get it, it's pretty good. Steve, thank you for being a good friend for all these years. Dave, again, thank you for being a good friend and part of our family all these years. You share all your investigations with us all the time. Anthony, you do too. Many other people out there that come to the show all the time. Everybody knows Rocky and Swede are out there right now. They've been out there now for a couple of weeks. They're going to be back here on 1 September. And I know that they're going to probably come back with some really good stuff. So until next week, my good friends, keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot going on. We'll see everybody next week. Take care and God bless.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week. Green.
men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.